Welcome to Church Unfiltered with Dr. Anthony Copps, a leadership podcast brought to you by Breakthrough Ministry Consulting.
Welcome to another episode of Church Unfiltered. We are powered by Breakthrough Ministry Consulting, where we seek to help pastors, church leaders, church staff answer the questions that they are really asking. We are so excited on today. I'm always excited to be able to be with my listening audience, but I am just ecstatic today. We have with us as a special guest, none other than Bishop Joseph W. Walker III. Bishop Walker is a senior pastor of the historic Mount Zion Baptist Church of Nashville, Tennessee. He comes with all types of accolades and credentials, and I am so excited to have him with us on today. He has a bachelor's from Southern University, Master of Divinity from Vanderbilt, Doctor of Ministry degree from Princeton Theological Seminary, and a host of other credentials as well. And Bishop Walker currently serves as the international presiding bishop in the Full Gospel Baptist Church Fellowship International. We have a heavy hitter with us on today on Church Unfiltered, and he is the new author of a book entitled Loneliness and Leadership. And so we are so excited to have him today, and he is going to come to us. Bishop Walker, welcome to Church Unfiltered.
Well, thank you for having me. It's such an honor to be on such an esteemed platform. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, thank you once again for accepting the invitation. I want to just dive right in, Bishop, if you don't mind. I know that you are a busy man, and I just want to glean as much as we can. We have pastors, church leaders, church staff who listen to this broadcast, listen to this this particular episode that's going to air, who are dealing with an array of things that you have dealt with. I follow you and listen to your podcast. I listen to things that you share online, and you bring such a tremendous angle of leadership and all sorts of information that is beneficial to those of us, not just people who are in ministry, but you cover the marketplace as well. And so I want us to talk about leadership, but then specifically even about that subject of loneliness. And I just want to tell you, Bishop, on the onset, I'm going to ask a couple of questions, but I just want to glean from you. I want to hear from you. And because we're just so appreciative of you being here with us on today. So can you tell us a little bit before we get into that? Tell us a little bit about Bishop Walker.
I'm just a guy from Shreveport, Louisiana. Grew up in a home there, godly home. My dad's a deacon, my mom's, you know, we were in church. And, you know, I started preaching when I was 20 years old. I was going to law school at Southern University and ended up calling me from law school to divinity school. Went to a church in Nashville, Mount Zion Church, that time about 175 people. And over these years, God has been incredibly faithful. The ministry's gone to over 30,000 in 3 physical locations and global ministry worldwide. And, you know, just been able to, you know, to really see the hand of God move supernaturally and impacting the lives and the kingdom and shift people. That's always the biggest thing of leadership, right? Is helping people, you know, get to a place of destiny. And so That's always been my whole mantra there. Shift people from where they are to where God would have them to be.
Right. Well, that's awesome. And definitely, yeah, your church, your ministry has been an example and a model to so many people that you have probably never met. You have been such an influence to many pastors, many ministry leaders across the country, across the world, even. So Bishop, let's get into this book, Leadership and Loneliness. What made you write this particular book?
Well, I realized the burden that many leaders are dealing with privately. These conversations are happening in very private spaces about the challenges of leadership, inability to find places of refuge, places of trust. And so consequently, leaders turn their pain and struggle and journey inward. And oftentimes we're dealing with a lot of suppressed and unreconciled issues. And often those things leak out in unproductive ways. Leaders burn out, leaders end up having negative coping mechanisms, and ultimately what we see happening publicly in the lives of leaders when they fail horribly or something occurs, we don't realize that this was really some unresolved tension and issues they were dealing with privately. And so I just felt it was important, one, to let leaders know that you were understood, that you're not the only one out there dealing with this idea of loneliness and isolation, but then also how to secondly use that loneliness as a catalyst for creativity and to be able to understand how to really build strategic alliances, to really reset expectations toward the people you lead, right? How they view you, how you lead. And then of course, thirdly, reimagining your own leadership model, really what that looks like, not having this Herculean model, a superhero model of leadership, but understanding the power of collaborative leadership. And I talked in the last chapter about leading from the middle versus leading from the front. And what does that look like? You know, carrying people with you, but allowing them to have more of a load. It is, I think, an insightful book to really speak directly and transparently to the plight of leaders, but also to help those who are being led empathize with the plight of leaders so they can support their leaders better.
That's good. So one of the things prior to the pandemic, I remember it was almost like every week, almost I was seeing a different story about a pastor who was dealing with, whether it was something, it was suicide, it was someone struggling with depression, something happened. It was like almost every week. There was something happening.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the reasons this just resonated with me when I saw your book, when I saw that being promoted. And I wanted to get you on the show to dialogue with our pastors. Why do you think, even prior to the pandemic, let's talk prior pandemic.
Sure.
Why do you think pastors, church leaders were dealing with so much loneliness, depression? Why do you think that was the case?
Well, I think that is primarily due to the fact that, you know, there is a disconnect between the title and the person, the position and the person, if I could say it that way. I think that people often associate what we do with the title, and often what we do ultimately is that we keep doing to anesthetize ourselves from the personal trauma and things that we're dealing with, the challenges. We feel that our success is tied to how well we do what we do, so we become great doers, and that doing, and that pace and that movement is what causes leaders to break down, causes leaders to be suicidal, depression. And what I try to suggest in the book is that doing was never what God ordained us to be.
Wow.
We're not human doings, we're human beings.
Yes.
And it's very interesting, right, that Jesus would open his very first sermon on the Mount, not talking about the be or the do attitudes, with the Beatitudes.
Right.
Because we cannot do all of this stuff if we're not in touch with our being. And if people who we lead don't see us as human beings,
right,
then they levy upon us unrealistic expectations of which we, in some delusion, attempt to fulfill. As if though we're imperfect, we have no struggles, we don't bleed, we don't, and there are leaders who are leading while bleeding.
Right.
And so it's important to understand the place where you can be honest about your own pain, your own struggle,
right,
and people can nurture you in that space without it compromising your ability to lead.
That's good. And Bishop, that's one of the things that I admire about your ministry is the access that you give us. You're on social media. You've taught me many things about social media. You didn't even know you were teaching me. I watch your example and I see that you give access. Let's talk about that a little bit, because I know that sometimes I've served as a pastor, I've served on staff for 20 plus years in ministry, and I understand what that's like. There's a hesitation to be open, to open up to people. Can you talk to the pastors that are listening, people that are church, people that are listening? Why is that hesitation there with church leaders to open up?
Well, it's all about trust. Again, it's about whether or not I can trust someone with my trouble. Can I trust them and be transparent without that undermining my leadership?
Right.
You know, what you have to understand, here is the dilemma of most pastors. In their own city, they can count on one hand, probably a retarded hand, how many real friends they have in that city, right, who are not in competition with them, who genuinely would just be like, hey man, let's go and just chop it up and whatever. That's hard. So most of their real, authentic, genuine friends are outside of the city they live in, right? Because there's no competition issue. Then you have people who are being led who can't necessarily handle that level of transparency because it will dismantle their assumptions about who you are. And consequently, some people cannot separate that humanity from the anointing on your life. And so they have difficulty like, man, I don't know if I can still hear you preaching anymore after what you told me, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with that unusual concoction that everyday leaders are waking up having to confront. If I'm honest about my struggle, what will it cost me?
Right.
Will it undermine my leadership? And if I go share with another person, clergy, will they use it against me to undermine my ministry?
Right.
So, you know, I think that's what leaders are dealing with, trust, foundational level. And that's why I talk about how important it is to start building alliances within your ministry, people who love you, who you don't even give a chance to. Give a chance to some people to come around you and support you. Right. And to trust you and to be okay in that space of transparency.
That's good. That's good. Give them a chance to come around you.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. So then add on top of that's kind of the behaviors that are prevalent just in general. Yeah. But then add on top of that, we are dealing with or have been dealing with for the past year, a pandemic that shifted everything for pastors, shifted everything for churches. How have you seen as bishop and leader of leaders, how have you seen that impact pastors when it comes to this idea of loneliness or this topic of loneliness and struggling in that area?
Leaders were already, as we discussed, dealing with loneliness prior to the pandemic. Then you introduce social distancing and things of that nature, which often for many leaders equated to social isolation.
Right.
So a consequence now, even the idea that I could go in front of people who didn't understand me, but at least I could draw strength from those people, that community of faith. Now I'm preaching to a red dot on a camera, hoping that people are in touch with what I'm dealing with, but I'm looking at empty pews and a red dot on a camera every week, trying to minister to people, and it's rough, it's tough. And so leaders are having to anchor down in this idea that if I am going to be truly understood, if I'm going to be truly, effective in this season, I'm going to have to reimagine what my leadership model is, because I cannot come out of this pandemic the way I went into it. I have to restructure how people look at my leadership, my team, the support around me, and et cetera, because there's a toll. Leaders are managing a pandemic without rest. We're on a ship. The captain on the ship don't sleep if the ship has been hit by an iceberg. You're in survival mode. And when all of that subsides, now you're thinking, now I got to start reimagining what church looks like post-pandemic. I'm up all night. Lord, what are you going to do? How many services? What do I do with this or that or that?
Right.
And it's so much that until you recognize the power of collaborative leadership, you're not going to make it.
Yeah.
So I believe, the pandemic has grossly affected leaders, but I do think it's important for leaders to understand how to reimagine their team, how to reimagine their friendships, and really how to make a hard stop and get away and refresh. I think that's going to be the big deal. The leaders are going to have to get away and take some time and really process what has happened over this last year and a half or so.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. So You talk more to, and this book is applicable to people not just as pastors, but again, business leaders, but any type of leadership. Let's kind of expand this and talk to just leaders in general. Bishop, you give so many different nuggets, so many different things when you talk on various platforms in reference to leadership. What are some of the things that you can suggest to people, no matter what field that they are in? As leaders, there's an old adage that talks about that there is lonely at the top, is lonely at the top. And those who aspire to own their own businesses and be executives in their companies and different things like that, what are some things that you can share with them to prepare them? Just kind of just even some warnings, just look out for this.
Yeah. So I think it's important to embrace your difference, to own that, to not look at that as some anomaly, but to accept the fact that you may be a unicorn thinking about things that nobody else is thinking about. I believe that leadership solves the problem. And when you understand that problem in the earth, you may be the only person that's focused on that at that time, but build that, work on that, develop that, et cetera. I think secondly, it's important before you move into marketing or branding anything that you really focus on infrastructure. I'm an infrastructuralist, and one of the things I could teach you and share with you is one of the handicaps that many faith leaders have is that they built their churches on charisma, on a revivalist model, and did not have strong infrastructure. And so when the pandemic hit, they were scrambling, because if you don't have no better to say, turn and high five your neighbor, but you have to actually now focus on how do I keep this ministry afloat innovatively, infrastructurally, financially. And I hadn't focused on that.
Right.
That's a whole other ballgame. So what you have to do is build from the infrastructural foundation and then let the charisma and let the idea and creativity come out of that. Start there. Do that heavy lifting. Nice. Do that compliance stuff, that accountability stuff on the front end. I think that's very, very important. I do think the things to be mindful of is not putting the cart before the horse. I think you have to understand timing. Strategic time. A vision is always for an appointed time. It will speak and not lie, but it's always a time. Sometimes our ambition is unbridled, and we get so anxious and we want to move out of time. If you study people like Oprah, you know, and others, you know, they have people in the can for years. You know, Dr. Phil was in the can for several years before he released the show. Yeah, because it's all about a certain timing. You have to be willing to understand. What is the time you can do the right thing? You can do a good thing at the wrong time.
Right.
And that can inevitably, you know, take the wind out of your sail. I think that's important. I think secondly, as a leader, it's important to have fiscal responsibility, intelligent fiscal management in your business, in your venture, to make certain that you have capital, to make sure you're operating with enough capital to sustain you, that you're not going so much in a hole, and then you're basically working to pay debt versus working to build wealth. I think that is the key here.
That's good. Well, Bishop, I have you on Church Unfiltered. I want to ask you this. I've always kind of wanted to ask you this question as far as how do you balance all that you do? Yeah. How do you balance all that? You do so much. You are the presiding bishop over Full Gospel. You are pastor of Mount Zion. How do you balance everything? And this book is what, your 13th book?
Yeah.
Your 13th book. How do you balance all of it, Bishop?
Yeah, you know, I think it's about intentionality first. You have to be intentionally focused on one thing at a time. And when all my energy is shifted toward that thing, I'm not on another thing. So I schedule my life that way. If I'm doing interviews at this time during the day, I schedule all my interviews back to back. If I have a Full Gospel day, my meetings are scheduled. And sometimes that means that people who want to meet with me may have to wait a couple of weeks, may have to wait 3 weeks, because they have to come back around until that day. What happens if we start cross-pollinating different things on certain days, our schedule gets away from us. So for me, every day has its own set of expectations. And I know when I wake up on Thursday, what I'm dealing with. When I wake up on Monday, I know what I'm dealing with. So that's number one. Number two is boundaries, in terms of just literally balancing is about boundaries. It's about not allowing too much encroachment upon your time. Like my phone rings probably every 5 minutes or so. I get text messages, but I'll respond at a certain time. I don't just automatically make everybody else's urgency mine.
Right.
You know, I have to have boundaries. When I cut off, when I come home, I cut off, I'm done. I deal with my family, I'm ministered. So I have to be managing my boundaries well, because how I respect my boundaries is how other folks start respecting. If people call me on Monday, they know that's his day off. So if I keep answering the phone on Monday dealing with stuff, they'll keep doing it. Eventually, my phone stops ringing on Monday. Like, he's not going to answer, because they already know, because you set that cadence. You set that expectation. So I think that's what you do. I think it's intentionality and balance.
That's good. You set your balance. You set your cadence. That's so important for leaders to hear and to recognize that, and boundaries are so important. You are the presiding bishop over Full Gospel. How is that going, Bishop? I know this is an extra question, a bonus question. I just want to know.
It's the most exciting time, man. Awesome. Full gospel. Awesome. God is giving full gospel so much favor. And, you know, obviously I'm partial, but I don't think that there's any movement out there like full gospel that is a, you know, real fellowship of churches that are really focused on the local church winning. That's our goal. You know, we see a Craig Oliver out of Atlanta, great leader, great church. Mm-hmm. His focus is on giving pastors the skills and strategies to be successful. As presiding bishop, I have a four-pillar focus. You know, it's faith, family, fitness, finance. Those four Fs guide the vision by which we move. Bishop Morton has been incredibly gracious as a founder and a predecessor to make certain that I have the support and all that I need. And so it is growing. It is innovative. We were the first to do a virtual conference, and God bless our cloud conference. We look forward to doing it again this
awesome.
Year.
Awesome.
Seeing so much engagement. And so it's just, I mean, what can I say? The most humbling part of that is following the legend, following Bishop Augustine Moore. You know, it almost can do that.
But you're doing a fantastic job, and we thank God again for your leadership. Well, let me kind of go back into this whole topic. So, and you just mentioned something about establishing borders, making sure that you set a certain cadence. How do you choose your friends?
I used to give everybody a 10 and let them deduct.
Awesome.
Now I give everybody a 0 and I let them earn. And
that's powerful.
My friends at this point in my life are people who can go with me through all seasons. Mm. There's a difference between people who are connected to you and people who are attached. If you have any difficulty delineating what I mean by that, hit a few bumps, you'll find out.
Wow, wow. And that certainly ties into this loneliness factor.
Absolutely.
As you said, because sometimes when you go through something, when there's adversity, you discover who your friends are.
Absolutely. You
discover that, wow. Wow, that's good. That's good information. Well, tell us a little more about the book. Let me say this, Bishop. What we're going to do here at Church Unfiltered, and those who are listening, we're going to provide 5 copies of this book that we're going to give away. We want to make sure that we give it away to pastors, to church leaders, first and foremost. But we encourage everyone to buy the book. And of course, this is the author of Loneliness and Leadership. This is Bishop Joseph Walker. Tell us a little more about the book as we prepare to.
Yeah, you know, the book really, again, as I said, you know, really helps the people identify and understand the plight of leaders. And of course, in the book, I deal with so much. Jesus, his practice of going in isolation to build himself up so that he can be more effective as a leader, how we use isolation and loneliness, it really determines how our ministry, how our leadership is viewed. Jesus used it effectively. And one of the interesting things you'll discover, one occasion when Jesus goes away and he's by himself in isolation, he goes away, as was his custom, to pray. He comes back to the disciples walking on water, and they thought he was a ghost. And he literally had to reintroduce himself to the people who were historically familiar with him. Wow. And do you think it's not strange that when you are in these places of isolation, receiving revelation, that you really do in certain seasons have to reintroduce yourself to people who have been familiar with you for some time. So I talk about that in the book. You know, I talk about trust and trajectory as you go up, how hard it is to really trust, how hard it is even to trust people with your content. People don't just take your content and make it their own. Like, you know, that's why a lot of people who or celebrities or whatever, they're very gun-shy about sharing. They'll tell you what they're doing, but they won't give you the how they're doing it because they don't know if you're gonna be a good steward of it.
Wow.
People will hijack your ideas.
That's good.
And so, you know, I deal with that. But more importantly, I think the reimagining of leadership models is what is important, what comes out of this. Jesus, and I wanna say this to all leaders who are listening. Jesus, I said, leads from the middle. Now that may be counterintuitive to some of the things that people have historically thought, but in a real sense, if you really study this, you'll discover that his model of leadership, the way he led, when he would move in the multitudes, he would actually be in the middle. Often in Hollywood, when they do these movies and they do these documentaries, you'll see they're really trying to dramatize Jesus as being in the middle of the people who are surrounding him. He's in the middle and the crowds around him. Why is that important? The woman with the issue of blood presses her way and she's able to get to him in the middle. And he says, who touched my garment? There are people touching you from every angle, basically, Jesus. But virtue had left him. Being in the middle allows you to empathize with the needs of people that you lead. When you lead from the middle, it allows you to feel and be touched. And like David had to herd sheep before he could lead God's people.
Right.
Jesus leads from the middle when he has the Last Supper with the disciples. He's not at the head of the table, but he's sitting in the middle.
In the middle.
When he dies on Calvary, he dies in the middle.
In the middle.
He's the middle man.
Yeah.
And so as a consequence, even now he stands in the middle of heaven and earth, making intercessions at the right hand of the Father on our behalf. So as a consequence, if we would ever learn that our efficacy as leaders is not about how far we can lead our front with 8 armor bearers and an earpiece in all their ears, and we're so distant from the people that we're tone deaf to the issues that they're dealing with, but to come on in the middle where real ministry is, boy, you realize how more effective your ministry would be. I've been leading from the middle, bro. I've been leading among my people. I don't want people to rush me out. I want to be in the middle. I want to talk to people, feel people, because that's where ministry is.
That is awesome. And we see it, Bishop. That's what it is. That's what it is about you, your ministry that seems to stand out so much. You give us access, and that's because you're leading from the middle. And you give us a vantage point that we don't see a lot. And so thank you for that. Thank you for doing that. You, again, so many different things that we can say about your leadership. So many different things we can even continue on in talking about this leadership and loneliness. Again, the book, your 13th book that you have published, and I encourage every listener to pick that up, order that right now. But one thing, Bishop Walker, tell us one thing about you that most people do not know.
Yeah, that I'm very down to earth, and I'm a bootleg comedian.
A bootleg comedian.
Right. Yeah. I'll find something funny in everything.
All right. And that brings up something else, the importance of laughter, the importance of enjoying life. When I think about this whole thing of leadership and loneliness, there's just so many people. I do a number of consultations and working with pastors and church leaders. And one of the goals that I set is I just want to see pastors smile. I just want to see them smile. And whatever it may be, just whatever weight that maybe can lift off of them, if I can see them smile, I feel like I've done something. Like, thank you, Lord. I just love to see pastors smile. And I don't know if people realize that isn't a given.
It's not. It is not. So many pastors are hurting. They haven't smiled in years, genuinely, because, you know, the work and hadn't been able to get away and get a vacation and rest. And so I try to smile, man. I try to offset this schedule and all this hectic stuff with laughter. I do.
Yeah. I'm going to ask one last question. Can a person effectively preach the gospel, share the gospel, if they are struggling in this area of loneliness? Can they really effectively deliver the word?
I think if they're able to acknowledge their loneliness and put systems in place that can help mitigate it, I think that they can effectively preach and use it as a catalyst for transformational ministry. When I acknowledge my plight as a leader who had dealt with loneliness, I began to preach in such a way where I was more transparent because I wanted people to understand my plight. Where it's easy to say, you know, like some of you who are going through this and dealing with this is what you have to do. Well, you have to also insert, you know, I remember a time in my life. For example, I remember a time in my life when my first wife passed away. and how I was depressed and didn't know it. And I was at the house 2 years in the dark. Nobody knew it. And I was still making a plate for two for like 6 months after she died. Nobody would have known that had I not said it. But when I said it, so much liberation came in the congregation. So many people were healed because of my story. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by our testimony. And that's what is important. If you use that loneliness as a part of the narrative by which you preach, inserting yourself in the illustrations and examples, I think it could be a huge, huge benefit.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing that. Well, Bishop, I've mentioned several times that there's so many different ways that you give us access to you. I want to kind of wrap this up with you sharing. Number one, I want you to just talk to the pastors who are listening. Final words, kind of a final word of encouragement to them, but then also share how can people connect with you via social media? Is there anything coming up that we can be a part of that you have going on? We want you just to share. I want the listeners to be able to connect to Bishop Joseph Walker.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity to share with you. And of course, I want to say to every pastor that, you know, the thing that God started you, he'll perform on the day of Jesus Christ. He called you, chose you, knowing everything about you, your proclivities, your weaknesses, your strengths, all of it. And God is aware and cares about us. And God has given us the wisdom to be able to make sound decisions about how we lead. And this idea of trying to lead just to please the people is self-destructive. You have to lead to please God. And when you lead to please God, you make decisions that are going to keep you mentally and spiritually healthy. And my prayer for those of you who are listening, and I hope you get the book, that'll help give you some strategy on how to lead and then be healthy as a consequence. Wow. I want to invite you to follow me on social media. Instagram is where I live mostly. Joseph Walker, the number 3. Got a lot of stuff coming down the pipe. Got a great leadership institute that I do. It's for leaders in the marketplace and in church who want to go on this journey. I share a lot of things practically with them, and it'll be virtual, so you'll be hearing about that. We'll post it on Joseph Walker 3. Also, Full Gospel, mid-April, we have a wonderful family conference for husbands, wives, and even single folks. Great thing to engage your congregation in, to be a part of. So, you know, a lot of things going on. I just want to stay connected. And one thing you'll find about me, once you connect with me as a leader and, you know, you hit me up, I'm hitting you back, because I want to see leaders lead. We need leaders who are effective in this time. And so thank you again for this great opportunity.
And you have a podcast too. You have the podcast as well.
Next Level Leader. Yes. Please subscribe to it. I mean, you're listening to this podcast, that means you are thirsty for leadership. But Next Level Leader podcast, you can get it out there, subscribe to it, and wherever you get your podcast, and I hope that it blesses you. Look for Dr. Joseph Walker on that one.
Man, already. Yeah, I definitely listen to the podcast. I'm excited to listen to the latest episode as well. So thank you so much.
Thank you, my friend.
Bishop Walker, you are a tremendous blessing to the kingdom of God, to those you lead and those you influence. Across the globe. Thank you so much for the work that you do. And we definitely will connect with you and make sure. And again, those who are listening, we're going to have 5 copies of the Leadership and Loneliness book by Bishop Walker. But we encourage you, don't wait on us. You want to get the book, go get the book right now. It is available. It will bless your life. Get it as a gift for someone that you know that is in leadership as well. And make sure that you follow Bishop Joseph Walker. God bless you, man of God.
Thank you for listening to Church Unfiltered with Dr. Anthony Copps. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss an episode. For more resources related to today's topic, visit churchunfiltered.com or follow Dr. Anthony Copps on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.